Shivasarbitamos begins the Tkufa, the period that we describe as Ben HaMitzarim, literally between the narrow straits. We refer to it as the 3 weeks of mourning. Shivasarbitamos marks when the walls were broken in, and Tisha B'Av is the culmination of the destruction, with the destruction of first Beis HaMikdash, the first temple, as well as the second Beis HaMikdash. And as Rav Freiman notes, as many of the contemporary commentators, he notes, obviously, Shibavadai, Shizman Zev, Seder Hanagab, Yamim Elu, Mechavim Otan Lit Bonanot. Obviously, this is a time of introspection, and it's a time of Avelus. It's a time of, we go through different laws, getting more lenient with the Shivas Arbitabos, right now having weddings and taking haircuts, culminating in Tisha B'Av, which is the actual fasting, and progressing in the week of Tisha B'Av, the 9 days, Shavuot Shechabo, etc. And he notes, Ubivadai in the asterisks in one, Sha'al hanagah chitzonit chayevet li lavot al vevut shevadat havelut shebaleit. Obviously, going through these laws of not buying new clothing, etc., these laws of the 3 weeks, these laws of Avelus, these laws of mourning over the temple, they have to be accompanied by emotional feelings as well, not just to go through the motion. Kim lo kein ein masenu ela maseh kof ba'alma. Otherwise, it's like a monkey. We're just, you know, parroting. We're not actually doing something meaningful. Masin netulei dad chasrei leib. We can't just go through actions without any thought, without any emotions behind them. And therefore, we have to analyze and ask ourselves what we can do in order to pierce through this challenging challenge that I think most people are confronted with. You know, people look at the 3 weeks, it comes out right in the middle of the summer, it ruins my summer, I'm curtailed on what I can do for vacation, etc. We look at it more of a nuisance. We look at it as more of, how do I get past the 3 weeks? Okay, I'll go through the motions of whatever laws I'm obligated to do. But what's missing is the lave. What's missing is the heart. What's missing is the mindset. What's missing is even thinking about the contemplation. As Rav Freiman said, the hisponenos, the introspection of the Churban. The Novi Yirmiyah, as Rav Reis notes in source number 2, says this so beautifully. Yan ki nigash ha'am hazeh, behold, the people have come to me. Befiv u'bisfatav kivduni. On the external, their mouth, their lip service, they've honored me. Vilibo rachak mimeni. But their heart is so far away. Vatihi yiratam oti mitzvot anashim lumanda. It's habitual. Even the mourning is habitual. There's no feeling. This is the great challenge that we are struck with when it comes to this time of the year. And therefore, the one question I'd like to try, Mirza Hashem, to grapple with, and it's a question we grapple with every year, and every year we try different approaches to see how we can be able to get a handle on this question, is how can we make this mourning period more meaningful for us? In what way can we be able to relate to it on a much more personal level that we'll be able to, on some level, have feeling, have introspection, have mindset, and not just go through the motions and be completely devoid of anything deeper, of anything more significant. So on one level, you could argue, and this is what Rav Yaakov Emden does indeed argue in source number 3. He says, Il malei lo haya ela avon ze biyadenu, she'em etablima Yushalayim kara'ui. Just for this one sin, that we don't mourn over Jerusalem properly. Dai larich galutenu. This reason enough is enough to elongate our exile. V'hi v'nei asiba krova yoter gluya atzuma v'chazacha l'chol shmadon ha'muflagot ha'gdolot ha'nara'ot ha'mavilot ha'rayonim asher matzanu b'galut b'chol mekamot p'sureinu. And for this alone, we still suffer today with all the trials and tribulations that we have, with all the anti-Semitism that we have, and with all the challenges that we have It's because shachachnu et Yerushalayim v'lo altal levaveinu al kein kemei milev nishkachnu nosaf yagon al yogenu anachtu. This anachtenu. This is the reason why we have to sigh more, we have to suffer more, is because we have forgotten completely what the Churban is like. And the description that many people give to this in Source 4 is like Lo Aleinu, a little child who loses a parent. But the child doesn't even aware what has happened. A three-year-old doesn't even aware of the enormity and the gravity. And they're playing as if nothing's happened. This is what we're like. We have the Churban, we have the destruction, and we go around in our lives as if nothing is happening. How sorrowful, how sad. And indeed, the Shulchan Aruch says, in Source 4, Ra'ui l'cho yirei shamayim, it is behooves everyone who has fear of heaven, sheyeh meitzar v'do'eg ha'churba meis ha'migdash, that we should feel the pain, we should be meitzar, we should feel the agony, and we should worry about the Churban Beis HaMikdash. So the Kiddushei Arim asks, well, that's very nice if you're a Yirei Shamayim, if you fear heaven, but if you don't fear heaven, then what are we supposed to do? To which he answers, if you don't fear heaven, you have a much greater worry. And that worry is that you're so far away from feeling this, that you have your own mini Churban, your own mini destruction that you have to deal with. A Yirei Shamayim, someone who fears heaven, has to deal with the ultimate destruction. If you're not on that level, then you got to start with your own personal destruction, that you're not on the level of feeling the pain of all of Klal Yisrael. So in a nutshell, my friends, the challenge that we have is the laws, the customs we go through. We've habitualized ourselves that it's part of the programming into our summer calendar schedule, the laws of the 3 weeks. The challenge is to make it an emotional experience. And even though intellectually we know, as Rav Yaakov Emden said, that the fact that Beis HaMikdash is not here means that we have more trials and tribulations is something we may know intellectually. It may be the child may know that Lo Aleinu, this parent, isn't here anymore. But we don't see it manifested in our actions. We don't see it in our way that we approach this period of the Churban. And we, unfortunately, are like as the Chidushei Arim. We are like those who are not those Yirei Shamayim. We don't have that fear of heaven. That we have a much greater challenge to worry about. And that is, we have to worry about our own Churban, of our own personal destruction, which is obviously an outgrowth of the ultimate destruction. And this is what we need to be worried about, and this is what we need to pay attention to. And it's this personal Beis HaMikdash that I'd like to try to talk about within the context of, obviously, the larger Beis HaMikdash, because one really shadows the other. And what I'd like us to try to understand today, and this will be our focus, is to understand that every human being is challenged with the challenge of wholesomeness versus divisiveness. We're all challenged with that we were created with the Tzelem Elokim. We were created with the image of God. We were created with a soul that is a pristine soul. And then whether you say it's nature versus nurture, there are many parts of us that have become developed in our lifetime. And we act out from many of these different parts. Some of these are childlike parts. Some of these are parts that we don't even recognize where they come from. We start talking and acting in a way, and we look at ourselves and others look at us. Is this really you? It is us. It's all different parts of us. But the challenge that we have is to create a wholeness within ourselves, to create a one focused, anchored being. That all of this and all of who we are coming from a place of connectedness to Hashem, and how we respond, we're responding in a place of control of self, that I am able to respond with somebody who is understanding that all of my parts are centered around being an Eved Hashem. And that's one of the greatest challenges that we have, to realize that we do have this internal anchor that we don't access enough. This anchor, the anchor of recognizing that we're here as Avdei Hashem, as servants of God, and it seems to us like such a foreign concept. Like, what does that mean? What is this godly part of me? Does this godly part of me really respond? Is this a large voice? Is it a powerful voice in my life? Or is it something that I keep off to the side? Is it only in religious experiences do I hear this voice? Is it something that plays through all of my interactions? It's these questions that we need to challenge ourselves at this time of year to ask ourselves. The larger Beis HaMikdash was a place that anchored each and every one of us into knowing, recognizing, actualizing, and living this Selam Elohim, this Dmud Elohim. We are mistaken to think that when we had the Beis HaMikdash, so it was a building, and we brought korbanos, we brought sacrifices, and we did Aliyah LeRegel, and we brought, you know, three times a year, we came to serve God, and it's a nice place, and it's a beautiful building. That's all true. But there was something much, much deeper that went in to this Beis HaMikdash, and it's that fundamental piece that we are missing in our lives, and this is part of what the Avelus of Yushalayim and the Churban is all about. Let's explain. We'll start with the Mizbeach in the Beis HaMikdash. Source 6, Rav Reis in Pamei Moed. What was the Korban about? So he says, first of all, understand that the Beis HaMikdash, HaMikdash, the asterisk, Harei Haya, Kur Adir Shel Energia Ruchani. It was the spiritual source of spiritual energy that gave off Kedusha 24-7. And anyone who went in there was able to feel the Ashras Lashchina. You were able, L'mashesh, actually feel the Yadayim, the Ashras HaKedusha, you felt the intrinsic holiness, and you were able to see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was there, and with even without even working at it. You became more of a spiritual person, and the spiritual energy, the spiritual core, this Selam Elohim became the dominant part of one's personality. And this indeed was what Korbanos were about. Korbanos Shayu, the Aaron 6, Machshir Lit Karvutam Shay Yisrael Elohim Shabbat Shamayim. It was a medium of coming close to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Whether it's a person who sinned by accident and was feeling absolutely terrible, I've distanced myself from God, a Korban enabled the person to be able to reconnect. Or it's a person in Source 7 who felt so overwhelmed by all of God's kindnesses and just had no way to express through the depths of their being how grateful they were to Hashem for everything he's done, would bring a korban to connect to Hashem. A korban just wasn't some sacrificial rite and service. The korban, as the name implies, was lihit karev, to come close. It was about connection. It was about that Selam Elohim, that divine spark within us, being able to connect to Hashem, being able to feel that closeness to Hashem. And that's why the Notrikon, the acronym for Mizbeach and the asterisk in 7, is Meziach, because they wrote, it takes away different decrees, Umezin, and is able to sustain the world. Mechavev, it enables Klal Yisrael to become beloved to Hashem, u'mechaper, and it forgave us for our sins. This was the power of what the Mizbeach was all about. We're missing that. We're missing that place in our lives where that animal, that live animal, was a representation, a live representation of our Selam Elohim, of our desire to connect to God. The Shlosh Regalim was not just a place to show up three times a year. Chazal tell us in the Dad and Eight, Shayu Omdim, Sfufim, Mishtachavim, Revachim. They would stand very tight together, but when they bowed, they have plenty of room. explains the Sfasemis on a philosophical Hasidic level. Omdim Sfufi means that they stood on a level beyond their physical selves. When they stood in the Beis Hamikdash, it was as if they were transformed. It was as if they were beamed out of their physical bodies into a spiritual realm. And therefore, Mishtachavim, they were able to bow, Revachim, they were able to bring down such tremendous hashba, such tremendous energy from heaven. They were able to tap into this energy. They were able to access this divine nature. The Beis Hamikdash was a place to meet face-to-face spirituality, to meet face-to-face the true, the essence of why we were created in this world, to be able to feel this relationship with Hashem. And indeed, in the arrow in 9, on the Pasuk in Eicha, Derchei Tzion Avelot, Mibli Ba'ei Moed, that the paths of Zion are mourning because there are no more people going up to the Beit HaMikdash, Mefarshim explained, literally the paths felt this loss. There was an energy that was apparent in all of Yerushalayim and all of Eretz Yisrael. When the people would come up, there was a transformation of a spiritual order that was happening. Again, it's so hard to describe these things because it's not even our lexicon to understand these things. But we have to be able to step outside of our narrow vision and open ourselves up to a spiritual reality that we're unfamiliar with, but that we can dream about, that we can begin to fathom, that the world isn't meant to be one where I struggle with my spirituality. This is not the way God created the world. God didn't create the world that we have to figure out, well, gee, am I a spiritual being or not? Let me think. Do I know where that spiritual part of me is? Haven't seen it lately. That's not where it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be that spiritual part of ourselves was the dominant part. That was this part that was the directive of our lives. And any time we felt that it was becoming weakened or it was becoming lax, you went to the Beis Hamikdash and it was strengthened. And you spoke and you acted and you made decisions coming from that place of spiritual energy. And indeed, the same thing by tefillah. We know that Yushalayim v'zeh shar shamayim in 10, this is a place that even until today, we daven facing the Beis HaMikdash, we daven facing Yushalayim, wherever you are. I was a kid with my students who come to Ramat Beit Shemesh, and they say to me when they want to daven mincha or Shabbos, which way is Mizrach? So I say to them, you're such chutz la'aretz Jews. Which way is east? You're assuming Ramat Beit Shemesh is to the east of Yerushalayim. That's not what you say. You say, which way is Yerushalayim? We're so gullicized. We're so into the exile that we don't realize that we're not facing east. We're facing Beis HaMikdash because Beis HaMikdash was the place where you felt what tefillah was about. Tefillah in the middle of 10 is from the word niftalti, which is a samid patil, which is about a connection. Tefillah is about our connection. A tremendous connection to Hashem. V'sheila sasrachim el eina elakein mavo. The sibali kashrutzo. Asking for our needs is just an introduction to what tefillah is all about. But in our world, we have substituted this with tefillah itself. We think davening is saying, Hashem, I need this, Hashem, I need that, I wouldn't mind if I had this. That's not tefillah. Tefillah's connection. Tefillah's standing there and saying, Hashem, I just want to talk to you. I just want to let you know what's going on in my life. I just want to share with you my struggles. I want to share with you my triumphs. I want to ask you for help. I want you to share in every aspect of what I'm doing and help me, give me the siyata d'shmaya, that I should have your input, that spiritual input within me and everything that I do, that I should be successful. We have made into a mechanical structure tefillah. We're missing relationship. We're missing the core. And in fact, in 11, the Gra brings down that at the end of Shemoneh Esrei, we say, Yirotzon Chibana Beisamikdash Bimheira Biyameinu B'teichal Keinu B'sor Secha. We ask Hashem to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash and give us our chelik in Torah, because even our Torah is weakened. That it used to be that you would learn Torah and you would feel Shaidei Halimud Mesugalim Anu Bimidarabah Litkerev Elav V'Lenov Minoam Zivo. You used to learn Torah and you would feel this connection to Hashem. You would learn Torah and you would feel a spiritual connection. We learn Torah today. We're missing all of this. It's that spiritual dimension which is missing from our lives. And this, my friends, is what we are mourning for. Source 13. HaMechaneh HaMeshutaf, in the asterisk in 13. L'chol HaChaserim Shaleim Hitzbanu Hu. All that we've mentioned. There's no korbanos. There's no Aliyah L'Regel, the pilgrimage. There's no real davening. Our learning of Torah, all of them have one thing in common. Histimat HaKesher V'Richuk Shinostar Ben Yisrael Aviyam Shema Shemaim B'Kvod HaKorban. The system is plugged. The relationship is blocked. And this is what it means. It's Choser HaFsharos. We don't have the ability to connect in the way that we used to connect. Our kirvas elokim, our closeness to Hashem, both externally and internally. To be able to have a physical place where we felt this Yerushalayim and I felt drawn to Hashem on an outward level, which obviously had implications on the inward level, of that I was more connected to the spiritual grounding and force within me. All of this has been taken away. And this, my friends, when we talk about what is the nature of the 3 week, the answer is, it's destructive divisiveness. Destructive divisiveness in the most intimate way, where we have destroyed and we are divisive within ourselves, that there are so many different parts that are ruling our lives, that the spiritual voice is all but numb. That even Tkiya Shofar, which is Ur Yesheni Mishnatchem, the Tkiya Shofar, which should awaken us from our sleep and stupor, even that doesn't have any effect on us. This is the Chorban. This is the Avelos. This is the mourning, that we don't even know what we're talking about. Rav Yaakov Hillel, in his Sefer Ascending Jacob's Ladder, talks about in 16, one way I find effective to help us connect with these ideas to relate the Chorban to ourselves. The prophet Yirmiyah refers to Jewish people as, quote-unquote, the sanctuary of Hashem, Hechal Hashem Heima. Every Jew is like a Beis HaMikdash, as the verse says, Vasuli Mikdash Shachanti Besocha. The commentators know it does not say I will dwell in it, but in them, inside each and every Jew. The divine presence comes into our home. It rests inside each and every one of us. As we say in our Yantav Tefillah, your great and holy name you called upon us. Your name is inside of us. And it goes through that the different parts of the Beis HaMikdash correspond to different parts of our body. And he says the Holy of Holies, the Kodesh Kedoshim, corresponds to our heart. And this is what, in the Arrow in 16, our sages teach us that the Yetzirah and the Yetzer Tov reside in the heart. The evil inclination occupies the left side of the heart, and the good inclination dwells on the right side. This is the arena where we fight our battles between good or bad. This is the most pivotal part of our spiritual existence, and it therefore corresponds to the Kodesh HaKadoshim of each Jew's private Beit HaMikdash. So, if we want to get a feeling in 17 about the Chorban, we can think about ourselves. How much Shechina, how much divine presence is there in our personal Beis HaMikdash? To what extent are we lacking spiritual perfection? How often do we get angry, speak badly about people, or act incorrectly? These actions cause the Shechina to leave us, and that is our private destruction of Beis HaMikdash. This is what it means that every generation whose times of Beis HaMikdash are not rebuilt is considered as if it was destroyed in its time. How do we understand this? The Beis Hamikdash was destroyed nearly 2,000 years ago. How is it considered as if it was destroyed again? The answer is that we are talking about this personal Beis Hamikdash that exists today as a representation of the higher Beis Hamikdash. And by doing something wrong, a person can drive away the Shechina in a renewed Korban Beis Hamikdash, a renewed destruction. Every time we get angry, every time we act out of a different part of ourselves and not of our spiritual selves, we are drawing the Shechina, we're drawing that spiritual part of ourselves further and further away. That's Golos HaShechina. That's exile of the Divine Presence. Rav Chaim V'Voloshin, the chief disciple of the Gra, writes something quite frightening. He says that a Jew who allows a lustful thought or image to enter his mind causes a greater desecration than that of Nebuchadnezzar and Titus. They defiled only the physical base of Mikdash of this lowly world, a Mikdash built of wood and stone, while the Jewish people, whose souls are connected to the higher world, have the power to destroy the spiritual base of Mikdash high above in the spiritual world. As our sages said, the spiritual higher base of Mikdash corresponds to the physical lower base of Mikdash. So while Titus and Nebuchadnezzar did disgraceful and vulgar deeds and committed terrible destructive acts, they affected only the lower base of Mikdash of sticks and stones. But if a Jew, God forbid, allows an evil thought to enter his mind and lets his heart be consumed with the fire of the evil inclination of the Yetzer Hara, he is setting fire to the higher base of Mikdash. This is the literal destruction of the Beis HaMikdash in our days. Now, having understood our personal korban, we can fully understand how the learning of Torah has to be about rebuilding ourselves and bringing perfection to the world. And that's our challenge. Our challenge is, in a world of divisiveness, in a world of destruction, in a world where we are involved in destroying our personal spiritual Beis HaMikdash down below and correspondingly on high, over and over again, moment after moment, hour after hour, year after year in our lives, it's time that we take a closer look and see, what can I do to rebuild? What can I do to regain wholeness? What can I do to re-access that spiritual spark and make it the stronger part of me, and once again bring about the Shechina, the Divine Presence, to come back into my home, into my Beis HaMikdash, and ultimately into the spiritual Beis HaMikdash of on high. So clearly, learning Torah is an effective way. But as we know, as Shari Derech Rav Freiman brings in 19, on the Pasuk, Vayomer Hashem al Azvam et Torati, when Yirmiyah HaNavi wanted to know why it was that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Hashem says, because they left my Torah. Why was it that Hashem had to teach us what was the reason of the destruction? The great sages didn't know they left the Torah. So this is a very famous Gemara we've spoken about just recently. Amar of Yehuda, Amar Rav, She'ein Mevarachim B'Torah Tchila, because they didn't say Birkas HaTorah before they learned. What does this mean? So there are many interpretations given. The Ran offers, of course they were learning Torah. Elavadai Oskim Ayu B'Torah Tami. Obviously they were learning Torah. But what does it mean that they didn't say Birkas HaTorah? It means Shelo Haita Torah, the asterisk in 19, Chashuva Beinem Kokach. They didn't feel it was worthy in their eyes so much that they should say a bracha on it. It means that they were involved in learning of Torah, but it was an habitual learning. They didn't give it the credence that it needed, the importance that it needed to. And this is the understanding. Rabbi Yitzchak Blaser, famous Baal Musar, explains what Chazal are really asking is, how could it be that our Torah learning didn't protect us from those three major sins of Giloy Rayos, Shichus Dami, and Vardasara, the three major sins of idolatry, immorality, and murder? How come Torah didn't protect us? And the answer is because Torah will protect you when you utilize Torah correctly. Very similar, he notes in 21, to David HaMelech, who abused the clothing of Shaul HaMelech by ripping off his clothes. when he was fleeing from Shaul. And later in life, David HaMelech wasn't warned by the clothes. If you're going to abuse Torah, Chmo Chayni Ra'al Loto Matanah Skuli Chinatana Bori La'adam Shaydei Esaka Torah. You mugan v'shamur min ha'yetzer. V'sha'ah shebazuma shuv lo ha'ila la'agein. Ad shenaflu ba'benor ha'chavarim asher hivyo lehem et ha'korban. If you're going to learn Torah out of habit, but you're not going to learn Torah in order to connect to Hashem, then your Torah isn't going to protect you, and indeed you will fall into those major sins of Giloy Arayos, Shvichus Damim, and Avodah Zarah. This is what the Chumash is teaching us. The Chumash is teaching us, the Chazal are teaching us, that when we're talking about that Torah has the ability to change us, that Torah has the ability to make us whole and perfected individuals, that's only if we utilize Torah in the appropriate way. That we understand the chashivas of Torah. That we approach Torah with that yira, with that awe. Before I pick up a sefer, I kiss it. I don't get distracted when I'm learning Torah. I'm not eating popcorn and learning Torah. I treat Torah with the reverence that it deserves. I stand up not only for the Torah, but for Tamidei Chachamim. I speak appropriately about Tamidei Chachamim. All of this will allow us to have the Torah protect us. But if I have a zilzul in it, if I don't, that's what it means not to say Birkas HaTorah. I treat it in a very haphazard type of way. I don't give it that chashivos, that importance, then the Torah is not going to protect us. And this, says Rav Freiman, on a very practical level, is one of the things that we need to work on in our introspection in the 3 weeks. And that is, how do we approach Torah study? And not only how do we approach Torah study, but how do we approach Torah living? Do we approach it as part of our lives, like brushing our teeth and, you know, everything else I do? Or is Torah something sacred in my life? And Torah, aspects of Torah mitzvot, are something sacred in my life? And he says this is all about, where do our priorities fall in life? And he says, Haklal, 22nd paragraph, Asher lamanu rabotenu hu, shekasher hadam, the third paragraph rather, shekasher halev tafus binyanei olam hazeh betavata, if we are so entrenched in this world, and our minds are full 100% in our businesses, in our, you know, daily lives, then the heart has no time to think about more exalted and lofty things. And of course, we can't think about Torah and, you know, the 3 weeks. We're in a deep stupor. Our minds are caught up in any of everything else. What we have to realize is, where are our priorities in life? And he says at the end of 23b, V'rak kishenachlit lasim kol davar mekomo. It's only when we are able to put everything in its priority. V'lachshiva taikar amiti, and be able to show precedence to what's really important. Yitarer libeinu b'tfilah u'bebechi. By day came, Yizkeh Lavi Yeshua L'Nafshenu U'La'olam, and then we can bring the redemption. The first idea on how do we create wholeness. So we say we create wholeness by learning Torah. It's not just learning Torah. We create wholeness by allowing Torah and mitzvos to take the priority in our lives. It's about having a paradigm shift. In being able, and every time we do this shift, it's difficult. It comes with challenges. It's about looking at our lives and asking ourselves, where do we spend most of our mental energy? Where do we spend most of our physical energy? What is really important to us in life? Do I live my life with this scale of importance? And it comes down to, particularly in the summer, this is where the litmus test, when push comes to shove, is there. Do you say to your kids, you know what, we're going on a trip, and they wake up late. Don't worry about davening, you know, you'll daven later. Let's go on the trip. So the trip becomes more important than davening. Do you stop that if you have a bar mitzvah boy age son, that he can daven in a minyan and be by a minyan if at all possible, or make sure that he daven, or even if it's not a bar mitzvah age boy, that make sure your children are davening. You stop along the road or find a place to daven. Mincha, it's important for us. I'm ready to do that stop, even though I want to get to and I want to cover ground. Do I make sure that learning is happening in the summer? Do I do all these mifsaim, all these charts and incentives to encourage my children to learn during the summer? But it's not only artificially imposed. Is my home, is my life one where Torah and mitzvos are the priority? Is this what is screaming out of my home? Or do my children feel that no? Or do I feel, and they obviously learn it from me, that what's more important for me is my house, is my this, is my that? This is where it's at. And if you're not quite sure, just ask your kids, what are the three most important things that Ima and Abba value? They'll tell you right then and there, what are your priorities? Ask yourself what your priorities are. Ask yourself, if lo aleinu there was a fire and nobody was hurt, what would you take out of your house? What's really valuable to you? These are the questions. Is it physical possessions? Is it emotional possessions? Are they spiritual possessions? These are the questions we have to ask ourselves, because these questions give us a gauge, if we're not quite sure, of where we are in our spiritual connection to Hashem. And my friends, this is what the 3 weeks is about. It's about realigning our priorities and being able, when we do so, to recognize that that spiritual part of myself is so often not fed. It's not given enough air. It's not given enough attention. And no wonder I don't feel it. No wonder it's not an anchor, because its voice is not the main voice. It's not the main part of my life. It's just one slice, and albeit a small slice, of the many different parts that run my life. The business side of me, the mother side of me, and this religious side of me, go bench. And this is what Rav Pinkus speaks about. He says in Source 24, in his Sefer on Golos and Gula, for these 3 weeks, we mourn the destruction of the temple. We ask from Hashem to rebuild the temple. But all the while, Hashem says to us, you know what? You want me to rebuild the temple? Let's start by looking at your own home. Do I feel comfortable being my presence in your home? Look at your own lives. Look at what's found in your home. Is this a place where I will feel comfortable residing? And he says, of course we want, of course we want to be Jewish and act Jewish. But we also want to, you know, enjoy life. And of course it's not the life of necessarily the goyim around me. I am a ben adam to enjoy the enjoyments of this world. Okay, obviously I want to learn and I want to dive it. But is this the main focus of our lives? And he says, you know where you see where our focuses are? Listen to the way people talk. I love my car. I love New York. I love whatever it is on the latest bag or bumper sticker. But where do we find time to love Hashem? Ma'achar 25 in the arrow, v'ko ovim anu avat nefesh. Since we're so entrenched in the love of et inyanei olam hazeh, in the physical world, v'libeinu malei b'tamim rabim u'meguvanim, and then yucholim eifolo, helvat Hashem yisbarach. Is there any room left to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu? This is the great challenge of our lives. Kayom hachayim shelanu b'nuyim al ratzon liyot musharim. Continuing 26 in the arrow, our lives is about being happy. Kedei she nisker b'muvan amiti shal yiddishkeit ben amikdash eretz Yisrael l'chiyodet chayin ribonet shalom peretiyot gemura b'yichud gamur. But you know what? It's about being happy. It's about being happy, but it's about being happy in the world that we have. But that's not Yiddishkeit. It's missing the mark. The 3 weeks is about learning what our focus in life is. That doesn't mean that you can't enjoy this world. But it does mean, where is there pleasure in my relationship with Hashem? Well, let's start with a more basic question. Where is my relationship with Hashem? Do I feel that Hashem is dwelling within me? Do I have a desire to bring a yichud, a oneness between Hashem and me? Is my home a home that Hashem would feel comfortable in being? What are things found in my home that he may not be so comfortable with? This is a time to do an examination. At Center of Pinkus, it's not only to get rid of things. That's one approach, right? Get rid of the books, or whatever it is, the objects in the home, v'amevim yovim, everyone understands what that means for themselves, that are blocking, that are creating the interference waves from God residing in our home. But it's also in the positive. Is our Shabbos a Shabbos that Hashem wants to be in? Is our brachos a brachos that Hashem wants to be in? Is our tefillah a tefillah that Hashem wants to dwell in? The time of the 3 weeks is the time to reorient ourselves and our relationship with Hashem. It's to sit down, my friends, literally with pen and paper, and say to myself, if I were to envision God moving into my home and living 24/7, what would the things he need to be found here to make his stay comfortable? Just like if somebody were to tell me, a Rosh Hashiva's coming into your home and moving in forever, well, what would you do to your home differently? Well, that's what I would start thinking about. You're right, my tefillah would be different, my Shabbos would be different, my Shabbos preparation would be different, my anger would be different, my speech would be different, my dress would be different. I mean, my friend, everything would be different. Practically, what are one or two things that I can change, that I can reorient, that I can reemphasize? This is the job of the 3 weeks. Hazman Hamasugal Lahagia Lachlata Livchor Bisug Chayim Kazeh, the double underline in 27. It's a time to recognize that I choose consciously that I want to live a life with Hashem. That choice, and acting on that choice, is acting on bringing back Hashem into my life. And it's a recognition of how far my life and my home have moved away from the ideal. And with this in mind, we can appreciate what Rav Aaron Cutler speaks about in Source 31 in Mishnah Rav Aaron Chelek Gimel, where he speaks about one of the reasons why we are so caught in the challenge that we have today, where we don't feel the Chorban, and the asterisks in 31, Ve'od Siba Choser Hashi'ifa Legadlos V'lif'ol B'zeh Ha'olam Mashav Shar Lagia L'Dargos Gvolt V'Nitriot. One of the great problems we have is our apathy, is our level of complacency, is our ability to say, you know, come on, you know, I keep Shabbos, I daven, I send my kids to school, what more do you want from me? And we don't have a vision of greatness. We don't have a vision of a home of Torah. We don't have a vision of a home that's kol kulo chesed. We don't have a vision of a home where our children will want to be taking out Tehillim Sedavit, where a home where our children want to be helping others, a home where people speak nicely to others, where people don't raise their voice to others, where there's no bad language found in the house, where there's no negative mitos, there's no gaiva, there's no lying. We're having, you know, look, you know, this is a society. This is what my kids are, you know, affected by in the street. You know, I don't live on an island. It's not a vacuum. Like, you know, give me a break. And because we limit ourselves and what we can accomplish, so then our home is dumbed down. Our spiritual essence is dumbed down. And we are living in shambles. We are living in churban. When our rabbis say, Chayav Adam Lomar Masai Yagiu Masai L'Masai Avosai Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. When our rabbis tell us a person is obligated to say, when will my actions match the action of our forefathers? This is a chiyuv mochlat. We have to aim toward the top, aim toward the stars. What's stopping us from having a home where we feel like a Rosh Hashiva is living our home 24/7? What's stopping us from having a home that's going to be a home of Kedusha and Tara? What's stopping us from a home where our value system is a system of what spirituality is about? And that I respond from the place of spirituality. That I respond from the place of a person who is imbued with that spiritual connectiveness to Hashem. The only thing stopping us is our limited mindset. The only thing stopping us is the influence we have from the outside world. And that, my friends, is the Choreban. That is the great destruction that we're living in. When we're talking about crying for the Beis HaMikdash, my friends, it's not just crying for something 2,000 years ago. Look in the mirror. That's what you're crying for. You're right. Then it was easier to reach this wholesomeness. Then I could bring a korban. Then I could go and have aliyah l'regel and feel, you know, omdim sfufim. I'm floating in the air. You're right. I don't have that level of tefillah. I don't have that level of Torah. But that means I should give up? No. It means that I should realize the divisiveness and the destructiveness that's found within me. That I should cry over how I am fraught with tension inside of myself. There's a part of me that wants to be spiritual. A great part of me that wants to be quote-unquote normal. That I don't know who I want to be. That's so hard to be spiritual. I'm so afraid what people are going to say. I'm so afraid if I get up and wash, you know, Nitzat Yadayim at a... you know, at a luncheon that, you know, my friends are going to smirk, oh, you watch, and it's not during the week, and not on Shabbat. I'm afraid of benching from a sitter. I'm afraid. What are we afraid of? That's the Golos HaShechina. That is what the 3 weeks is about. It behooves each and every one of us during the 3 weeks to mamish sit and draw, whether it's writing with pen and paper or drawing with crayons or markers, doesn't matter. The vision of what a home should be like, of what a Bas Yisrael or Ben Yisrael should be like, of what an Eved Hashem would be like. The vision of Matai Yagiu Masai Lumasai Avosai. What does it mean for me to buy a Sarei Meinu? Not even a Robinson Kenyevsky or a Sar Shira, but a Sarei Meinu. What's stopping me from moving that into my life? That's the Avoda of the 3 weeks. The disconnect and the desire to connect. That is our avoda. Rav Freifeld was a beautiful essay on the 3 weeks. He says, this is our goal, one word. Our goal of the 3 weeks is wholeness. 34, this is the ideal toward which we strive through the Torah. And that is also our function in the broader community of nation. It is our responsibility to bring wholeness to the rest of humanity. When did Jewish people come closest to this achievement of wholeness? When the Mishkan was established in Shiloh, the tabernacle, they achieved Menucha, rest, which symbolizes completeness. Wholeness with everything in its proper place. But in Shiloh, there was still an element of impermanence. When the Beit HaMikdash was built in Yerushalayim, however, they achieved nachala, legacy. In other words, menucha, made permanent. In the Beit HaMikdash, the Jewish people encountered the Shechina, the divine presence here on this very earth. Miracles, the Gemara tells us, were commonplace in the Beit HaMikdash. It was the creation at its highest level, everything in its place. Everything connected to divine source. It was an island of wholeness in an imperfect world. And it brought a measure of wholeness to the entire cosmos, as well as, obviously, to each and every one of us. At the opposite pole of the wholeness that emanated from the Beis HaMikdash was the characteristic of Sinas Chinam, groundless hatred. You know what one person says to the other? I don't like you. Really? Why not? Did I do anything to offend you? No. Then why do you dislike me? Not for any reason. I just don't like you. Listen to what this person is saying. For no reason at all. I don't like you. We live on one and the same globe, under one and the same sun. We belong to one and the same community. You've done nothing wrong to offend me, and still I dislike you. How can such a thing be? There has to be some rung on the ladder in which people connect with each other, some common ground that binds us all together. But this is a total disconnect. All right, I can see it. You don't like a person because he did something to you. That's not a total disconnect. Because at the root, you're still connected. It's only circumstances that have inserted a wedge between us. Resolve those circumstances, and the wedge is removed. The underlying connection is there. But to dislike people for no reason, that can only result from the perception of the other person as an alien from another sector of the cosmos. This is a symptom of complete disconnect. And if heaven forbid, this kind of attitude and perception insinuates itself into Jewish people, the departure of the Shekhinah, Divine Presence, cannot be long in coming. The Divine Presence, the ultimate in connectedness, in wholeness, cannot coexist with groundless hatred, the antithesis of connectedness and wholeness. This is why we, all of us, suffer so much in our lives. Whether it's in our relationship with others that we just don't like people because I don't like them, and because within ourselves we are so disconnected. There's so many parts of us that I don't like, and I don't even know why. I don't even have a handle on myself. This idea of disconnect, this idea of divisiveness exists within me. And is it any wonder that the Divine Presence has such a difficulty existing within me? The divisiveness is the antithesis to wholeness, and wholeness equals Divine Presence. I once heard, continues Rabbi Freifeld, about a certain Rebbe who used to listen to the problems of the people that came to see him, and after they left, he would sit and cry. The Gabbai asked him, "Rebbe, why are you crying?" "Because I'm unworthy," he replied. "These people that come to me with their problems are holy, precious Jews. I know it, and I love them for it. But I cannot bring myself to love them as much as I love my children, and that is wrong." Do you hear the greatness of this man? He understands the meaning of connectedness, of wholeness. He understands that the human ideal demands that we feel boundless love for others. And he berates himself for not achieving that sublime ideal. And what about us? We cannot even begin to conceive of this kind of ideal. But we should feel at least a minimal degree of connectedness with each other. We should at least be incapable of seeing a schina. We should feel at least so connected to each other we find it impossible to dislike others for no reason at all. And if we're capable of seeing a schina, it's only because we have lost our connectedness. And this is our challenge. The loss of connectedness within us affects my relationship with others. It affects the way I deal with others. It affects the way I think about others. And this is brought to the fore. And this is such a gewaltig story. Rav Baruch Ber Leibowitz, the great, great student of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, was once in America raising funds. And one of his Talmidim from Europe was taking him around collecting. And Rav Baruch Ber was going to stay in this Talmid's home that night. The Talmid comes back with the Rav Baruch Ber after a long day, and the Talmid goes upstairs, and he goes into the bedroom, and his wife had the radio on very loud. Understand how many years ago the story was. And he starts screaming at his wife, "We have the Rosh Hashiva here. You have the radio on so loud." And after he screams at her, he comes downstairs to see if Rav Baruch Ber needed anything else. 37. Let's pick up the story. Rav Baruch Ber didn't understand a word of English, but he did recognize the tone of voice. "Did you learn to talk like that in my yeshiva?" he said to his Talmid. "I cannot stay here. I'm not sleeping in this house tonight." The Talmid pleaded with Baruch Ber to stay, and Baruch Ber relented only after Talmid went back upstairs and apologized to his wife. You have to understand the depth of the story. It's not a simple story about a kind-hearted old rabbi. Baruch Ber is one of the Rav Chaim Soloveitchik's greatest Talmidim, a giant in Torah, a person of extreme holiness. He understood that speaking in that way, the bracket in 37, was incongruent with the scheme of the Torah, something that should have been impossible for a Talmid Chacham. It was a violation of the wholeness of the cosmos and an act of disconnectedness and therefore a supremely destructive act. Screaming, treating your wife this way, is not coming out of wholeness. It's not coming out of spirituality. It's not coming out of that place that emanates the divine presence. It's coming from divisiveness. It's coming from brokenness. It's coming from a disconnect. So this, in the asterisk in 37, the big asterisk, is what the Churban was all about. The mission of the Jewish people is to bring wholeness to the world. And they had as their starting point the ultimate wholeness in the midst, in the form of the presence of the Shekhinah, of the Divine Presence, in the Beis HaMikdash. During those days, they lived the most exalted existence possible in this world. But then they disconnected. They harbored feelings of Sinas Shekhinah, of groundless hatred in the heart, and thereby drove away the Shekhinah and brought down the Beis HaMikdash in smoldering ruins. What is our job during the 3 weeks? You're right. We obviously have to go through the laws and the customs to the best of our ability to learn about them and to act appropriately. But my friends, it does not take away one iota from working on the meaning as well. And the meaning of the 3 weeks is one word, wholeness. It's about recognizing the state of wholeness that we had when the Beis HaMikdash was around. Was recognizing that this was a place where we were just cocooned in spirituality and we just felt spirituality at all times. And we have to now recognize that we've lost that opportunity. We've lost that cocoon. We've lost that bubble. Now we have to look at our lives and ask ourselves, what in my home, what in my life, what in my particular situation can I do to try to recreate this wholeness? I just was speaking to a teacher this week, a very prominent seminary in Eretz Yisrael, and with that I'll leave it, who was saying that she feels, this mechanechet, that she's not getting through to the girls as she used to. And I said to her, you haven't changed. If anything, you've gotten better. She says, it's not about me. She says, when girls are learning all day, and then they have these handheld devices at night, and they're watching who knows what and communicating with who knows what, everything we've taught during the day becomes watered down at night. I'm not saying don't send your children to Israel. There's still a tremendous amount that they gain. But this is our challenge, and this is just a prototype of our lives, these 18-year-olds. We can involve ourselves in Torah and mitzvahs all day. But where does our geshma come from? Where does our passion come from? Where do our priorities lie? Where is our focus in life? Where do we find that we put the great emphasis in our lives? And if we're not going to put it into the chashivas of Torah, then will the learning and davening have the effect that it's supposed to have on us? Every time we say something inappropriate, think something inappropriate, do we recognize the disconnect and the tumah that we bring into our Beis HaMikdash? These are the questions that we have to ask ourselves. My friends, let us challenge ourselves to take time during the 3 weeks to be able to sit down with pen and paper or crayon and paper, whatever it is, and build and envision and draw and write about Matai Yagiu Masai L'Masei Bosai. If you could build a home for Hashem, what would it look like? And then draw what our homes look like. And then look at the two pictures. See the disconnect. When we've seen the disconnect, we're now having a sense of Churban. We have a sense of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. And when I'm able to say, well, let me take this element out of my picture, or let me add this focus into my life, when I start doing this shift, this is when in my little life, I am starting to rebuild my small temple. And as we build our small temple down here, simultaneously, Kedusha, holiness, is being built in the temple above. And we should be zocha as each and every one of us works in our small little life to create wholeness in ourselves, wholeness with the people around us, connection, even in the tone of voice of the way we speak, to be able to bring out that Tselem Elohim, that godly spark as our primary spark, as our primary focus, then we'll be zocha to see major shifts and major changes and a shefa bracha and a bounty of goodness within our own lives that will be a direct result, in a direct cause in resulting in the ultimate Beis HaMikdash being built in Eretz Yisrael and all of us being able to be holed up again, one again, and being able to live the life that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has envisioned for each and every one of us. My friends, talking about wholesomeness and oneness, we've now come to another end of another season, B'chasdei Hashem. This is our 40th shir of the year, and I thank each and every one of you for being the kalach of listening that enables me to be a conduit to teach. In Yirtzeh Hashem, we are taking, or I am taking, a break to recuperate and rejuvenate over the short summer since Elul is right around the corner. And Amir Tzashem, we will pick up again, comes Elul time with a new series with Siyata Dishmaya. A good and healthy summer of working and creating wholeness.